tonight, we sing the song. We'll make it. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, 2, and 3, we looked at that last week, yes? We looked at the thought last week about decisions that are made in your life and mine have consequences. We majored on the fact that God used the children of Israel as they were over in Babylon. No matter where you are, no matter where I am, God can use us if we're usable. And they were usable. But mainly we looked at the thought how God used Nebuchadnezzar. Wait a minute. God used a pagan king? Oh, yes. He gave him a dream. No one could interpret it. But it was interpreted by God through Daniel. And then after the interpretation and the dream, Nebuchadnezzar said, boy, there is no other God but your God. One time. Then again, the fiery furnace when the three Hebrew children were thrown in and Jesus joined them and they were delivered. He said again the second time, there is no other God but your God. And then he had another dream. Daniel interpreted that. And he said, there is no God but your God. But 1 year later, he stood in the courts of Babylon and said, is this not great Babylon which I have built? And the interpretation of that dream had already come that you're going to be put out the pasture. And that's what it was. God drove him. So the consequences of decisions that he made in his head, but not in his heart. I'll serve God. There's none like him. But when God brought him out to pasture, and then we see the grace of God, that God brought him back and let him rule again. Example for you and I. God has put us in this world. And no matter what we say with our mouth, that's important. But the heart. Finally, he got his heart in tune with God. Did he get saved? He is in heaven? I don't know. But one thing I know, the marvelous grace of God restored him to the position. Speaking to people this morning, no doubt that you've made decisions in your life, whether you be here this morning or you're listening by some other means. You made a decision. God knows about it. You know about it. And you say, I'll serve God. But for whatever reason, it was just the mouth speaking, not the heart. But God's on the throne. He can bring us. And thank God for his marvelous grace that forgives us when we fail him. And we all do. But this morning, I want to look at a different subject. Let's look at living our lives to advance God's agenda. It's not by accident that this pandemic came, and you can go back and look at all you want to, but either God's in charge of everything or he's not in charge of anything. He doesn't take second place. And God is on his throne, Jesus at his right hand, and God the Father has given all power, all authority, all principalities unto his son Jesus. And you are here, and I'm here by the divine order of God. And whether or not we adhere to the facts of God and we bow before him from our heart, giving him thanks. But let's look at this thought this morning, how we can advance the kingdom of God in this world. He uses you. He uses me. Let's go back to these four people that we bring attention to in Daniel chapter 1, 2, and 3. Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego is three trusted friends, his companions. And the first thing happened, remember, when Nebuchadnezzar went over to Jerusalem, he handpicked. He got about 5,000 of the children that well-favored, the intellects, if you will, the well-studied, the strong people. And he said, I can use these boys. Not only could he use them, but God could use them. In Babylon? Oh, yes, he can use you anywhere he puts you. And about 7,000 from the other tribes, and they were marched about over 700 miles. Now, if you look at as the crow flies on the map, it's about 500 miles, but they didn't go that way. They had to go through the wilderness. It took a long time to get there. And as they're traveling there, and when they get there, Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, we've got these about 11,000 people here, but I want to handpick, and I can use them. Well, God can use them. So they were chosen. But let's look at it a little bit later. While they were over there for those years, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't content just to get, they worked out so well for him. He says, let's go back to Jerusalem and get some more. So the second time he went back, and he always killed a lot of people too, and he brought more over. But the third time he went back to Jerusalem, and we won't have time to look at all that, not only did he bring a lot back with him, but he also destroyed the temple. And Jesus had foretold that it would be destroyed. Why did God permit all this? Because Israel, Judah did not obey and trust God. There are consequences to our decisions. And they chose to worship God from their mouth, but not with their heart. And God told them, if you don't worship me, I'll put you in bondage. And that he did. But I want to look this morning at the things that they can do while they're there. Now, they didn't go over there just to go play around. They want to go over there and serve God. The agenda that they had was, while we're here in Babylon, we're going to serve God. And from the very abundance of their heart, they did that. It makes a difference. The first thing when they got there, the world tries to discourage us. And you're in the world, I'm in the world. And the ways of the world tries to discourage us, put us down. And tells a lot of people that get saved, and Satan fights and tears and tries to convince you that you're not a child of the king. But if you've ever repented and asked Christ to save you from the abundance of the heart, then he saves you. And you'll never be good for the Lord in that role he put you in until you realize who you are and who he is, and you can serve him no matter what the conditions are. So the first thing the enemy or those people in Babylon tried to do, they put some people over and they chose these four people. We're going to major on these four people, Daniel and his three friends. And Daniel seems to be the spokesperson. He is. God called him. He used him. And he's using him to help these other. As you read the scripture, you see that these other three Hebrew boys, they did not have the status. And there's nobody, I believe, in the Word of God that had more learning, more book skill, more intellect than Moses and Daniel. And, of course, David's son Solomon. Those three. And Daniel, if you read Daniel, as he read those books of Jeremiah and other books, and as he gave his heart to God, God used him mightily. And we're going to look at just a little aspect of that. But one reason he used him is because he was usable. And now he was wont to not only serve God himself, but he had a chore to do, so to speak. Seems to me like there was three major things in his life that he wanted to do. He wanted, first of all, to promote God in the foreign land of Babylon, and everything he said and did was to give all glory to God. It wasn't about Daniel. And the second thing it appears to me he wanted to do, and he did accomplish, and God used him for that purpose, to set the king straight. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was over most of the populated portion of the world, and he wanted to be there as God used him. God could use Nebuchadnezzar. Not only could he, but he did. God could use anyone. And the third thing, it seems to me he wanted to elevate, promote, and get these three companions of him in the stand of God so they could be used. Look at your life and mine. God put people around you, maybe your children, and if you're a child and your parents are not saved, then God can use you. And your job and mine in this world is to make God look good. How can you do that? By living your life. We call ourselves Christians, and the world is looking at us, and in the earlier portion of God's word, the people call them Christians. Why? They just acted so much like Christ. They said, these people act so much like him, we'll just call them Christians. So the world's looking at you and looking at me, and do they identify us as Christians? So let's live our life that they would. And the way we can be Christ-like is to help others. Everything we say and do that they're looking at us, don't bring reproach on the name of Jesus. I've told people before here in the church, one of the Sunday school classes has bumper stickers for your front bumper. Fletcher First Baptist Church. I like that. I've got one on one of my vehicles, or maybe two. But I've told people now, people are reading that sign and they're watching your driving. And be careful. If you wear a sign that says Fletcher First Baptist Church, and if you wear a name that I'm a Christian, people are watching you. Don't bring reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's a portrait. Don't mar the portrait. Some of the most important portraits in the world, some of them sell for millions of dollars because they had such good artists. And then the older they get, well, listen, Christ has a plan, and his plan is that we are Christians and we are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we see. Don't mar the picture. It's worth more than $1 million. It's worth life and death to many struggling souls when they're looking at you and they're looking at me. So let's look back. First thing the world wants to do is give them a name other than God's name. So let's look first of all at Daniel. Word Daniel that God gave him means God is my judge. That's a pretty good name, but the world changed that, and they gave him Belteshazzar, which means Lord of the straitened treasures. Not God is my judge, but Lord of the straitened treasures, a worldly name. They tried to paint a picture now that Daniel got to forget those things, and God is my judge, knowing and know. Look at Hananiah, one of those Hebrew children. It means God has favored. But the world changed that to Shadrach, which means royal or the great scribe. See what they're doing? They're giving them names that replaces God in their life for a scribe or something royal, man-made. Well, thank God it didn't take. No matter what the world calls you and tries to give you and put upon your back, it doesn't have to happen just because the world calls you that. Thirdly, Michelle, who is what God is? That's what the name means. But then they called it the Meshach, guest of the king. See how the world's trying to do? They're trying to take God out of the picture. Nothing new, right? You're in this world. If you're saved, you're a Christian. And the world's trying to take a dim view of your life that God has given you. Remember, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's leading you and guiding you. And we're supposed to elevate the kingdom of God. We're supposed to elevate other people around us, as Daniel did. Thirdly, Azariah means Jehovah has helped. What wonderful names God has given these boys. Jehovah, the Lord God, has helped. But they didn't like that, so they called him Abednego, servant of Nebo. See what the world is trying to do? Take away the picture of them to being servants of God and trying to paint a picture, everything just worldly. Oh, but thank God it didn't take. So the first thing the world tries to do is try to diminish the things of God in your life. I want to look at six things this morning, Lord be my helper, if we have time to do that. And if not, we'll get as many as we can. First of all, I want to look at Daniel discerned how to live in the foreign land. Now, we're in America. It sure isn't what it was when I was born. And as many of you are in middle age or older age, it's not the same as it was. But we're here. So let's discern from God how to live in this present world. We can't go back. And Daniel now has been brought, he and his three companions, from Jerusalem, which means peace, and they've been brought to a heathen land by God. God arranged it, orchestrated it, verse 2, and God purposed it and said, you go. But while you're there, represent me. And while you're there, help that king over there, because I'm going to use him. And by those dreams and by those events, the world all the way until the coming of the Lord will read and study and understand that there is a God that rules over the affairs of man, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or any other king, or our president, or any other president of any language or any nation. Remember, he is over all powers and all principalities. You don't have to understand that, but you sure have to believe it. And God is supreme. He rules. And he doesn't rule the way we do or would. Thank God, he rules it better. His ways are perfect. And first of all, as he discerned how to live in that present world, he had the purpose in his heart. Look what he says in the first chapter, verse 8. The first thing he had to do if he's going to learn how to live and discern how to live. Now remember, why is he living? To advance the kingdom of God, to help the king as God uses him, and to help his three Hebrew friends and elevate them so they could be used of God. But he had their purpose in his heart, number one. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Well, that was his choice, but he couldn't bring that about by himself. But if you purpose in your heart what God wants you to be, then the second thing, he propelled him. He propelled him in the good favor with the eunuch. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. Daniel didn't have to promote himself. He's promoting God. He's promoting the work of God. And if we do that, God will propel us and take care of all those enemies and all those people that's in charge. God caused him to love him. So Daniel went to him and said, you know, we're not eating the king's meat. It's been offered to idols. We're not drinking his wine. Give us pulse to eat. And the word in Hebrew, pulse, means vegetables that are sown in the ground, which means not rare food, not just how God prepared it. And we don't have time to explain any more than that, but it wasn't what the king offered. And he said, let us eat that. And of course, the prince of eunuch was afraid and said, oh, but if you eat something less than is nourishing, then my neck is involved because the king has chose me to elevate you, not only in word and deed, but you have to be healthy looking. And Daniel said, well, we're just going to prove it. Let's just prove as God's who he said he was. Give us 10 days worth. So he did that, and at the end thereof, he was far better than the rest of them. Not only did he purpose his heart, and God propelled him in favor with the prince, but look at now the portion of the king's meat that was changed of pulse. Now, Daniel wanted that to happen, but prince said, I can't do that. But look what happens in verse 11. God uses someone else. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, and Mishael and Azariah, prove us seconds, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So with a purpose in his heart, God propelled him, and God now changed the portion and let them change the portion, and God was honored. What did Daniel do? Simple. He just purposes in his heart that I'll serve God. I remember someone else in the Bible did that. Many other people in the Bible did that. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve God. What about you? What about me is, if I want to make God look good in this world because they're looking at me and I call myself a Christian, then my life depends upon him putting me where he wants me to be and me acting like Christ wants me to act. And therefore, I'm making Christ look good. And along the journey, I'm to help my fellow man. If I ever get to where I need to be, then I can help someone else along the way that's struggling. That's your job and that's mine. Maybe your children, maybe a friend, maybe someone just got saved. But their job is too. Not only would Daniel discern how to live in that present world, but now he has to deal with the sentence of death. Because remember, after the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and God gave it to him, and God let him forget it. Now, that dream was going to be interpreted as all the kingdoms of the world after them, hundreds of years in advance. Did God want it told more than anybody else did? Well, he's going to use Daniel. But first of all, the king doesn't look that. Remember now, Daniel is also teaching the king some things. And the king now goes to all his soothsayers and all his astrologers and all the Chaldeans and say, I forgot my dream, but I know it's important. Tell me what it was. And interpret it. And they said, will you tell us what it was? And we'll interpret it. He said, no, I got you figured out. You'll say any old thing and try to make me believe it. You have to tell me what it was. Finally now, because they couldn't do it, the king puts a death sentence on all the astrologers, all the soothsayers, and the people of the kingdom and realm. That includes Daniel and his three Hebrew children. The death sentence is passed on him. Going to put him to death. Didn't give him opportunity. So let's look at the scripture together now. How do you deal with a death sentence that the world and those people are over has put upon them? The devil's got a death sentence on you. How do you change it? Bow on your knees, confess your sins, and Jesus will save us. The death sentence, we're all going to die in the flesh, but I'm talking about the second death. You need not die. So this death sentence now in chapter 2, verse 13. After no one could interpret the dream, and Daniel didn't, and his friends didn't even know what was going on, but he knew one thing. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. He didn't have an opportunity to interpret the dream or to tell the dream. Everybody else did, but not him. So now it's been told him, your death sentence is on you, Daniel, and your three friends. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. I've listened to that, read over the CD much, and I've read it much. And I'd always skipped over those two words, but not this morning. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. This is important because the death sentence had been passed that Daniel and his three friends and all the other people, the wise men so-called, are going to be put to death. The death sentence has been passed. And it's told him, you're going to die. You'd better have some counsel and wisdom. Let's look at those two words in a little bit. To Arioch, the captain of a king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. The slayer's already gone to corral him up and to slay him. Daniel and his three friends also. He answered it and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. The word counsel and the word wisdom. Now he was approached by Arioch, the king's captain. Not only the king's captain, he was also the king's executor. The word Arioch means lion-like. He's going there with a vengeance to obey the orders of the king and to arrest and get all the wise men, Daniel and the three Hebrew children. The death sentence is passed on him. And Daniel says, what's happening? So he told him. And now he's going to be slain. Let's see how he approaches this and how he answered that. If he doesn't answer it right, he's responsible not only for himself, but also for his three companions. And God has put him in this position. He has to use it wisely. Cancel. It's the only time that word in the Hebrew is used in the whole Bible. Isn't that interesting? He answered with cancel. It means prudence, discretion. Hey, listen, the world is looking at us. And most of the world is dying and going to hell. And when you and I got saved, we had heard the word preached, the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sins, and we had to answer with counsel, with prudence, and with discretion, I'm a sinner. And I don't have to die because Christ took my place. But now they're going to have to die, and he must get the Arioch, the lie-like man, with it means to answer and give counsel very carefully, with forethought. So when we're witnessing to other people about the lives, their lives, and their family's life, you realize if you get a husband saved, you might influence his wife and the family and the grandchildren, just think. You get the wife saved if you lead them to Christ and they get saved through the generations and much forethought and discretion. If you approach them in the right manner and time goes on, you could have 40 or 50 people saved by your counsel, by your discretion. God help us, she's discretion. And not point their fingers in someone's face and say, you low-down scoundrel, you're going to hell and you deserve to. I deserve to. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit came to me. He came to me in tender love and showed me that I'm a sinner. But the counsel was given me by the Holy Ghost that someone took your place. So he is answered now with counsel, but look at wisdom. The word wisdom means with regard, with good taste, and with judgment. Remember, the death sentence is passed. Daniel and your three friends and all the wise men are going to die. And he has to give answer with counsel and with wisdom, with discretion, with judgment, with careful words. Of course, the Holy Ghost is choosing those for him. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he had convinced Arioch now. He said, give me an opportunity. I don't know the dream and I don't know the answer. But faith that God has given me says, God knows. We know he knows. And with the counsel and with the determination and the careful thing, if I prepare my heart to come before audience to the king, I know my God that already knows will tell me and avoid the death sentence. Arioch was pleased with that, but it wasn't his decree. It was the king's decree. So now the counsel and wisdom he used Arioch was good enough to get him an audience with the king. Hey, listen, you got loved ones dying, the death sentence has been passed. If you don't turn to Christ, you're going to die in your sins. We need an audience with the king. And because of his counsel, because of his love, because of his desire of his heart, Arioch was convinced and he got audience with the king. He said, oh king, you've had a dream, I understand. And you put off all of this sin. Says, why are you so hasty? Do you know the dream? No, I don't, but I've got a good friend that does. And if I have an audience with you and convince you that God knows and I'm serving God, I know I can get an audience with the King of Glory. Now, I had no idea that he could get an audience with the King Nebuchadnezzar, but he did. He said, I can get an audience with the King of Glory. And he did. And the King Nebuchadnezzar withstood and stayed the death sentence on him. Give it another chance. Number three, let's look at the desire Daniel had to bring and include his companions. Remember what he's over there for? To elevate the kingdom of God, to make God look good. He did that. He's there to help Nebuchadnezzar because God's using him. And more importantly, I think he's there to help his three Hebrew children, his companions. Now, Daniel doesn't know that pretty soon they're going to have to stand there and make a decision about that fiery furnace. But God knows that. And Daniel wants to have them prepared for anything that happens so they can stand in boldness. So let's see what Daniel does. Now remember, he has a desire. Now he knows, Daniel knows, I can get an audience with the King of Glory because he chose me and he's using me. He already got it stayed off his king's diet junk. And now we stood before the king, and the king himself said that we were 10 times wiser than all the magicians he had. But I know that God knows. So now he's going to the king. Let's look what he says in the 21st, with the 17th verse, rather. Now his choice, he knows he's going to get the audience for the King of Glory, and God knows the answer, and he knows he can get it from God. But he wants to include his 3 Hebrew companions. Why does he want to do that? That's one of his jobs. Hey, you increase with knowledge and you stir the world of good. You got children. And you may have grandchildren. It's not enough. It's enough for you, but what about them? What about as we go through this pilgrimage that we have an audience with, to give glory, and we bring them along. So they're going to have some battles. They're going to have some details later on that they need to know too. So look what happens in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Could he have got an answer from God by himself? Yeah, but he wanted to include them. It was his purpose. Let them in on it so they can be bold. When they need to stand, they can stand. That they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. His desire that his companions could see and understand that the death sentence is passed. But we can divert it if we get an audience with the King of Glory. And he included them in the prayer. God gave the answer, of course, to Daniel. But they were there as witness. They were there to have praise and honor and give God glory for it. Not Daniel, they were there. And look what happens, fourthly. He had a determination in his heart to give thanks and glory to God. Remember, that's the first thing he's over there for. Give thanks and honor and glory to God. God had just answered his prayer. He knows Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He knows the interpretation. He could have went straight over to Arioch and said, I know the answer. God's given it to me. Take me to Nebuchadnezzar. No, 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 not time for that. Look at verse 20. Because the determination had made to give praise and honor to God. And that's a very important part of our lives. To give honor and glory to him, he's due it. Not to call a reporter and say, hey, there was this thing happened and God used me. No, no, no. God gets the glory. Look at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for the wisdom and matter his. And he changed the time and the season. He removed the key and sets up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee, and I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what was desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Notice what he said. Remember very clearly, God gave Daniel the answer. And in his prayer, he says, thank you, Lord, that you have given to us. He includes his 3 companions. And church is not just a preacher. It's not just a song leader. It's not just a Sunday school teacher. It's you. It's your families. We're all in this together. Why are we here upon planet Earth this day? To bring glory to God, to let his light shine in us and through us, so others can be acquainted with the King of Glory. So he will get all the honor and praise, and we can advance his agenda in this present world. Fifthly, now he's going to dedicate to his companion. Chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Boy, he had it made now, didn't he? Not good enough. He wants to make sure that his companions receive some honor and glory too. Remember, he's given God honor and glory. His chore is to make his friends look good and bring them up in this world. And so now look at the next verse. It's not just good enough that he's got the gold chains and royalty and been elevated to the kingdom of God. It's not about Daniel. It's about Daniel's God. It's about elevating God's work through the king. It's about his three friends that God has put under him. He's a spokesman for the group. The one that leads them to prayer. The one that leads them to worship. Now look what happens. Verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon. Daniel said in the gate of the king, it wasn't good enough that Daniel alone get the glory and honor. God gets the glory and honor. And now, King, I appreciate all your gifts, and I appreciate the elevation, but I got three friends here that God's given me that I can help along the journey. Won't you help them? See what God's doing? Same with you. Same with me. Give your children, grandchildren, Sunday school class, classmates, if you're a saved young person, you go to school, perhaps you've got friends that don't know God. Your job is to give God honor and glory in this world and seek him so you can further the agenda he has for you, and that includes your friends, your acquaintances. And every opportunity you get, you bring them along. Sixthly and lastly, we're going to get to the finish, Lord willing. Now, there is a devotion on the king's part to abide with the things that they learned. Look at the scripture as we read chapter 3 and verse 16. Remember, all along, Daniel didn't know what's going to befall these three friends, but God did. So God used Daniel to usher him along, teach him that if you pray and seek his way, the dream's not too hard. God answers and recalls what he had given the King Nebuchadnezzar dream, not only the dream, but the interpretation. And now Daniel's out of the picture. That's what we do, parents. That's what we do, grandparents. You bring your children along. You teach them that there's a God in heaven, by word or by deed. Most of the time by them watching you. Sometimes you don't have to say a lot of words, but you include them in things. When my two boys were little, I'm not bragging on me, I'm just saying it was a family affair. If we got ready to purchase a new automobile, Sandra and I would talk about it, and we say we're not going to do it without our boys. They're part of us. And we'd sit down, and we'd go over the financial details. Can we afford it? No, but. And the boys were there with helping make the decisions. Where do we go on vacation? It's not a dad and mom, we're going here, and you said, You bring them along. They're part of the plan. They're part. And when we went to revivals, for great men of God, Dr. J. Harold Smith and Dr. Percy Ray and Tate McCown Zion, we were just bringing them along and let God do a work in their heart. that was our job, to promote the God of glory, and to teach our children, and we can teach our children's children, that there is a God. I'm in His will. I want you to be in His will, because one day I'll be out of the picture and you'll have to stand alone. Three Hebrew children, boys now. Daniel's not there. Don't know where he was. Don't really matter, does it? God's doing the arranging. God wants these three boys to stand alone. They'd been taught. They'd seen God work. They'd seen God interpret the dream. And now, here's a chance for them to stand boldly, because Daniel had the devotion to abide. And now the three Hebrew boys, they have devoted their lives to the cause of elevating God. Not about us. It's about our God. Look at Scripture together. Chapter 3, verse 16. Remember now, the king, although he had said in his heart, there is a great God, none other like him, after Daniel interpreted the dream, it wasn't very long until he was building this great statue and said, this is God. Wait a minute, you said that there is another God. Yeah, but that's what they said, but my heart didn't agree. So he had this great statue, and when all the music played, everybody falls down and worships the great image that I have built. Look what happens in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Wonder where they got that. Oh, I remember when Daniel answered Arioch, the lilac guy, with discretion, with counsel, and wisdom. Now, they've been taught to use the same thing. We are very careful. We are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast learned. It is amazing now. God orchestrated and removed Daniel out of the picture. I don't know why, but he did. So they could give testimony on their own. Hey, friends, one of these days, your children will make a decision, I hope. If it's marriage, they'll consult you and say, we believe that God led us to marry this individual. Would you help us pray about it? But they may not. They may come to you and say, we're going to do this regardless. But now these three boys had learned well that it's not about Daniel. He's gone somewhere else in the kingdom. He's still here. But now it's just us. And there are God. There's a time in your life and mine when it's just you and God. That's enough. That's enough. They've been taught well. Why? Because Daniel purposed in his heart to teach them the purpose in their heart. And then, of course, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But God is always as faithful, showed up with them. Not a hair was singed. And the only thing that happened was their bonds were free. And they were in there in the midst of a trial, in the midst of Babylon, praising God. How'd that happen? Because it purposed in their heart to give God glory and honor and praise, and we will not defile ourselves, and we will not worship anything but the Lord God. It'll get you out of a heap of trouble. Any trouble, the devil tries to throw your name. Changing their names didn't do a thing for them. It didn't hurt. Because they'd already made up their mind to serve God. Verse 24. Look at the display of courage now that they had. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Oh, it's about time. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Last time they got promoted, Daniel was the one that interceded for the king. Now they're serving God on their own, and God has delivered them, and now they're being promoted without anyone else having to ask. They're just turning it over to God. Would you stand this morning? Your head's bowed. Missy, you got anything to sing, play?